Yes. And I would like to open the floor for discussion. I'm not sure. Yeah, that's Sylvia and Sasha. I see other hands for applause or hands for questions. Sylvia? No. So it was not how I understood the hand, but Lucia seems to have
Hello,
some
everybody.
question.
Well, yeah, there's the
Okay.
also for the it was clapping hands. Thank you, Kaka, for your great speech and for the great summary of your results. I've been watching Sharka for some years now, and finally, this is a real huge conclusion of her work for me. So I'm very glad to be able to hear it. There is a lot to say from me to you, Sharka, personally. I'm especially grateful that we were finally with you lead, having the lead cross to a different method in our discourse research to start the psycholinguistic point of view. My remarks or those of them that I would like to present here for you all are just intuitive. And Sharka, maybe you could tell me this is maybe like something between the lines as you were thinking about the design of those experiments. With the temporals, I have such a hinge that maybe for the choice of connectives, if you would choose some connective which actually expresses precedence, like předtím or dříve, maybe that's the contra-intuitive way how we proceed when we read text. It's like the narrative is not going like as the events happen, actually. So maybe I would personally suppose there will be a larger obstacle in understanding, but at the same time, is this actually implicitable at all? Do we, or just this is the first thought. So I don't know. Maybe if you leave out a předtím or dříve, you don't get to the real. Well, in English, you would have the tenses, right? Some past tense and other forms of tenses, but in Czech, I'm not sure if we can actually do this without connective or if there are other devices. And then for confrontation, I am actually surprised as you are, because I would say that confrontation is so semantically heavy that you just can understand it, even if it's implicit quite well, quite quickly. But maybe it's implicit when it's intrasentential, right? We have this kdežto, and kdežto is within a sentence. That's just a type of connective which is intrasentential, and you don't really use it in separate sentences. So then if you put out a kdežto in one complex sentence, you can perfectly understand the the semantic polarity there. But if it's within longer text within two or more separate sentences, then maybe it doesn't it's not perceived that quickly. Or that's just my intuitions. Maybe you've already thought about all these things, but this will still actually mean that confrontation is quite easy, even implicit, when it's within the sentence.
Oh,
Okay, I don't really
okay.
understand. That's it from myself.
Okay. So, Sharka, will you answer the questions directly when they are asked, I suppose?
Yes, I will. Yes. Thank you for your remarks. Yes, they are very good. Well, yes, there is a difference between precedence and succession there, of course, and it's marked in our annotation so that. Well, we mark the relation with an oriented arrow, and the orientation is opposite if it's either precedence or succession. Well, in my experiments, I did not concentrate on precedence, like the relation expressed with dříve or předtím, but you are totally right that we even, I'm not sure whether we have some other signals of precedence. in comparison with English, which would facilitate somehow understanding of implicit precedence. Maybe it should be then deduced from a context. Yes, you are right. So this was the case of succession, which was tested by me, was very easy in comparison with precedence. And then confrontation. Well, but we could see in the data, at least in the experimental data, that the intersentential confrontation is not so easy if it is implicit, that it's even problematic. And yes, what to do with that? Well, I proposed some explanations.
I just a hint that the syntax is what holds it, right? Like condition and purpose, syntax is what holds it. And it's like more, you know, free to like.
But what is really very important there, and that could be observed in the annotations, this is the difference between intra-sentential and inter-sentential relations. Mm-hmm. This is more important than the semantics. This is more important than everything. Significantly, very significantly more important. So whenever we do any research on discourse from now on, we must start with division of all the results into these groups.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
So I don't see any sign. So before you think of more questions, I have some questions. Yeah. Some are just for clarification. Some are maybe more terminological. First of all, I would like to appreciate Sharka's pioneering step, because as far as I can say, this is the first paper or contribution given by somebody from UFAL, which uses the data from some psycholinguistic experiments. And I appreciate that very, very much. Now, my questions. First, you spoke about that new corpus or subcorpus, discourse subcorpus. So I have some questions about the composition of that. You said that you needed a subcorpus which would take into account the point of view of the differentiation of genres, that in our PDT, we mostly have journalistic genre, and you wanted to have more genres represented. Did you have some, how did you choose? I mean, how the proportions of each genre in the corpus? I think that was one of the questions which the people who started to collect Czech corpus, Czech national corpus, they really were very interested in the issue of the proportions of genres in the corpus. So that was one of my questions concerning the genres. The second question concerns more or less a term you used. You said when you compared the data from the annotated corpus and the results of your experiment, you spoke about two methods or two methodologies. I don't think that these are really two methods. And on the one hand, you had frequency data, if I understand well, I mean from the corpus, when you looked at the frequency of implicit as compared to explicit relations, and then you have the psychological experiments, and you already mentioned one, I would say, important difference between the two approaches or two results. On the one hand, in the corpus, you had a very rich set of means of expressions, of the explicit relations, and this might be one of the reasons why the two results differed. And the second point is that in the experiment, and that's, I mean, in all experiments of that kind, you have very simplified data, actually. So it very much depends. I mean, the results of the observations from the corpus do not, of course, they depend on the annotators to a large extent, but they do not depend so much on the selection. If you have a small corpus, yes, but if you have a larger corpus, then you have data from different fields that you can compare. But with the psychological experiments, maybe you mentioned that, but and I didn't. I haven't made a note. How many contexts you had? You said you have 50 to 60 subjects to in your experiment, and I would be interested also who were the respondents. But in any case, how many sets of examples did you have? They had to read. That would be also interesting. An interesting thing. And then as for the table, I only put down one remark concerning, you compared two sentences, or you have the implicit and explicit relation. And with the implicit relation, the first item in that context was a long word or even two words. And with the explicit relation, you had only a very small conjunction like zatto, I think. And then the reading speed or the time for reading might also depend on the length of the item. If you understand what I mean. So this is also one aspect which I think has to be taken into account when you speak about the reading speed. So I think I spoke for a long time, so please.
Yes, thank you for your remarks. I will start from the beginning. You asked about the proportion of genres. I should clarify using notions and style here in our approach and text genres. The subcorpus IDA is a part of Prague Discourse Corpus, so it means a Prague Discourse Tree Bank. So it is annotated on the data of Prague Dependency Tree Bank only. It consists of journalistic texts only, and so that we have texts of journalistic style there. But within this style, we could choose which journalistic texts will be taken into this subcorpus, and we wanted to make it as different as possible, so that we have there, for example, conceptual dialogues like interviews. I'm saying conceptual because it's not a real dialogue, it's rewritten dialogue, but still there are some like second persons there or something like that. And informative text, argumentative text, where you can expect more modal verbs and so on. So in this like small area, we wanted to make it somehow proportional according to style factors. But still, we could not go over the border of the general journalistic style when remaining within the data of the Prague Dependency Tree Bank. On the other hand, it was very useful to use these data from the Prague Dependency Tree Bank because we could use all the previous annotations and we could even see the relation between discourse and, let us say, coreference, topic focus, articulation. You could see that it was pretty important for the confrontation. But some other features of the text, like verbal categories and so on. So this was the core of the decision for this, well, one style corpus, because it had so many advantages that it was still very useful to use it. Then when we talk about the selection, in the corpus and in a psychologic experiment. Yes, of course, we make a very, very narrow selection there in the experiment. And even sometimes it can seem that it's not narrow enough. For example, when you talk about the different length of the words, well, okay, I have even thought of, I don't know, prepositional ways of expressing temporal settings and simpler, more simpler ways of expressing temporal settings and so on, but I did not count syllables. And it's very difficult to purify the data so that all the items are really comparable. So this is like one side of the comparison of the annotations and experiments. And on the other hand, within the annotation, we have all possible phenomena there, but we never know what is, for example, the implicitness or explicitness caused by. Because we never change just one parameter there. There are always many things differing between, for example, an implicit pair of sentences or explicit or implicit relation and explicit relation. And to tell the truth, well, it's, I would say, impossible to find so similar examples there, similar to each other, as in the psychologic experiment. And I have the feeling that within the experiment, we have verified something that would be adequate to one example or maybe two examples in the corpus. But this is really the different perspective of these two approaches, and it's like that. It's important, for example, whether the words are expressed as pronouns or whether they are autosemantic, whether they are long or short, whether they are somehow in complex structures or not. And as we could see, even if I would say I had the feeling that I had thought about everything to make the situation somehow comparable in the experiment, but still, for example, the context for the confrontation was probably not sufficient. And so, yes, this is just a way of getting some experience and we will go on. Okay, this is just the first step. And how many sets of examples, no, how many items were there in every set of examples? There were 10, for example, in the test of synchrony, 10 explicit relations, 10 implicit relations, and some fillers. And this was the case for every experiments, 10 and 10. And I can probably show it to you again in the presentation. Just in a second here. Yes. So for each relations, there were like 50 respondents in the first group and 50 respondents in the second group. And they got the same items, but one half of them was explicit and the second one of them was implicit. And in the other group, it was the other way around. So that the respondents did not read the same sentence once in an explicit version and then once in the implicit version, because then their second reading could be influenced by learning.
And who were the respondents?
Respondents were adult people, Czech native speakers of both sexes, and they were
of different education.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you for clarification. And now, who else has some question or comment?
No, I have
some. Yes, please.
They are both related to something you've already mentioned. First one is about the genre in PDT. So there is a genre annotation, right? So did you use that to make your text as variable as possible? I know it's still within the journalistic topic or style, but still there are interviews, there are, I don't know, weather reports, probably not great material for you, and some other things other than the general reporting.
Yes, we used that because it was, I think it was us who developed that in the previous version. So we knew very well what was there in those genres. Yes. And we could already have some assumptions about the future structure of representative subcorpus. Yes.
And my other question is about that problem of the resolving time, about the psycholinguistic experiment, and whether something else could have played a role there. You mentioned that people also have to resolve other issues in text, like coreference, for instance. So did you make sure there that your what you are looking for is completely isolated in the experiment? Because I just remember reading a psycholinguistic paper about resolving ambiguous pronominal coreference based on discourse prominence of the participants or something like that. So, for instance, the example with somebody getting an atlas instead of a bike, I think there was a zero pronoun there. In this case, it was not ambiguous. It was clear who got the bike, but I'm just asking whether there could be something else in those, at least in some sentences, that is related to the resolving time.
Well, I understand the question very well. I did my best to exclude these possibilities. And of course, I know of possible mistakes at this very place. On the other hand, we have experience with coreference annotation. Therefore, we can somehow see it there. And you could probably see in the structure of every item that, we looked whether the subjects are coreferential or not, and whether they are alive or not, or persons or not. So we wanted to make it really comparable. But I hope it is comparable, really.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So another question or another comment or objection or something? Well, if not, I can only close by applauding again for the courage Sharka had to enter this unexplored field, at least unexplored for us, and to also to start close cooperation with people from another from another domain or from another way of thinking. So I think it's very, that's a great contribution, and I really appreciate it very, very much. And as for our seminar next time, we are not meeting next Monday, irrespective of the fact whether our government will give us free time or not, but we will have free time in any case.